Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 421, the fifth stanza. O God, our shield with face benign, look on thy servant holy thine, and keep him, Lord, the great defender, one day passed in thy house of praise is better than a thousand days spent in the realm of earthly splendor. And what follows? Psalter 421, the fifth stanza. Out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Ephesians 6, the verses 10 through 24. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Ephesians 6, beginning with the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how we do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, I shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. We hope to remember in prayer Miss Miranda Vandenberg, who was still in the Calgary Hospital, and Mr. Alt Ludemann, who may commemorate his 73rd birthday today. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of all the earth, the Father of all mercies, thou who art good-doing, faithful, also so perfectly righteous, omnipresent, and all-knowing, and then it is pleased thee to grant unto us and our dear children another week of grace. Thou hast watched over us in the night gone by. We may see the sun arise by renewal, the light of another day. Thou hast given another Lord's day. And then thy earth may still be full of thy works and full of thy wonders. May we have eyes to see it, and then the least of those wonders is not that we and our children may still have a place upon this earth, and that we and our children may still come up to thy house in a difference with so many upon the world, who cannot, who may not gather in this day. Ah, Lord, may the wonder be a wonder, and that by the first time and by renewal, and then on another Sabbath day, then we do so well to be given to reflect upon the past week. whether our words, our thoughts, and our deeds have been directed according to thy testimonies, whether in this past week that there were special thoughts and special exercises concerning thee, the coming of thy kingdom, and the glory of thy great and worthy name. Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may remember us and our dear children thou wast given in the past week, a male members meeting. Wilt thou add thy blessing, and wilt thou spare us and our dear children in these evil and solemn times from the greatest judgment that can come upon a people, and that is the hardness of the heart, and no longer attentive to thy word, to thy law, to the admonitions, a blatant refusal to bow under thy word, to choose the world above thee. Ah, Lord, thou wast given many examples in the Bible who have hardened their heart, and their end was nothing but terrible. And it is written in thy holy word that then we shall be beaten with double stripes. Ah, may it please thee for such that even the outer hard covering of their heart may be somewhat shattered, that they may hear the word of God, become attentive unto thy word. But Lord, we do not only need a shattered heart, we need a new heart from thee, and that through the mediatorial work of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the application of the Holy Spirit, we need a heart that loves thee, that fears thee, that hates sin, and that needs to be washed in the precious blood. We humbly beg of thee that thy word may be blessed to that end in this morning hour, that thy word may go forth with power divine. Oh, it is written in thy word that the arrows of the king, that they are sharp in the hearts of the king's enemies. And, ah, Lord, then there shall be an asking, as it was with Saul on the way to Damascus. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Ah, Lord, work that wonder in the hearts of our children, the hearts of our youth, the middle-aged and the elderly ones, where there is one thing needful. Oh, what shall it profit us when we gain the whole world and we lose our never-dying soul? May it please thee to uncover a sandy foundations, but remember also thy Zion. Thou knowest where they are encamped. It is so necessary and so profitable, because, ah, Lord, thou knowest what a riddles and what a questions, what an assaults there can be in the life of thy true people. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought, am I thine or am I not? And then it is so needful that they may be given to hear what they have received from thee as a free gift, but also what they still miss. Because, Lord, we need that breastplate of righteousness, and that is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed. and embraced by a true saving faith. It is all a gift from above. Ah, wilt thou grant unto thy children to be more humble, to be more holy, and to be more thankful? Wilt thou so grant upon the face of the earth, in the latter days of the earth, a great ingathering, that the kingdom of Satan may suffer great damage in this day by the preaching of law and gospel? He has but a short time, but there are those still written in the book of the Lamb among Jew and Gentile that must and shall be brought forth by word and by spirit. Lord, remember all the temporal needs, the handicapped daughter still in the hospital. Was not an easy week, much discouragement, although in the day of yesterday it was a better day. Then by renewal we ask thee that thou may grant unto the physicians wisdom and understanding, and may it be with a dependency upon thee, because without thy blessing the means cannot and shall not avail. And Lord, then thou continuest to knock on the door of her heart. May it please thee by thy grace that thou may take possession of the same, and then she shall so willingly give it unto thee and be given to us for thy ways. Wilt thou uphold the mother? Wilt thou uphold the parents, the family circle? We commend unto thee the mother who underwent surgery in the past week, much more invasive than the doctors had expected. May the means be blessed. She was unable to return home with her dear husband. Wilt thou now grant healing and strengthening, and above all, the way of affliction, that it may be a blessed and sanctified affliction? We commend unto thee all those that are under the physician's care, those taking treatments, many fears and many concerns. Lord, remember, do bless. Remember the crosses and the burdens. Remember those that struggle with weakness and difficulties of the mind. We commend unto thee all the mourning ones. Lord, there are so many amongst us. May it be used. May it be sanctified richly for the coming of the glorious kingdom of thy dear Son in the hearts of sinners. We commend unto thee a widower who may commemorate another birthday as a widower, where that empty place remains so empty, Lord. We commend them unto thee for body and soul, together with the family circle. We remember all the elderly ones in the evening of their life, our Bethesda, their residence, and those that may lovingly care for them. Oh, do continue to provide, and above all, also in that place, to work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we now humbly beg of thee for thy gracious help. Anoint us with fresh oil from above, then by renewal called upon, to speak of the armor of the Christian soldier, ah, Lord. May it please thee in this morning hour that by thy almighty power and thy sufficient grace that soldiers may be recruited, that they may be taken by thy stretched out arm from under the banner of the Prince of Darkness, and that they may be placed under the glorious banner of Jesus Christ, with a love for the King, with a striving for His honor, and for His word, and for His love, for the old truths and the old ways, ah, Lord, for those true soldiers, then the wonder only becomes greater, that they may remain under that banner. The true child learns more and more the preciousness and the vastness of that little word, grace, and to that end with a desire that thou may receive the honor and the glory. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 66, the four stanzas. Ever are my longing eyes toward the Lord, whose watchful care, when my foes their plots devise, keeps my feet from every snare. And what follows, Psalter 66, the four stanzas. this morning hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Ephesians 6, the verses 15 and 16. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Our text speak of two parts of the whole armor of God. Two thoughts. First, the spiritual shoe, and secondly, the shield of faith. Two further parts of the whole armor of God. The spiritual shoe and the shield of faith. Beloved congregation, we have heard of the Christian soldier who by the free and sovereign grace of God has been placed under the banner of Jesus Christ and is given to fight the battles of the Lord. And as we continue with the armor, and it is not commanded in our text words that the soldier has to make his own armor or invent armor, but it is an armor that has been merited by Christ, that has been tested by many a soldiers, and that is given by the Holy Spirit to those Christian soldiers. And then by renewal, then the all-important question, I think, boys and girls, that you all well know what it is, whether I have now become a soldier under the banner of Jesus Christ with a love for the Lord, for his kingdom, for his cause, for his love, everything that pertains to the Lord. And then it is so needful that we place ourselves faithfully always where Christ has promised to recruit his soldiers. Have you asked for congregation in this morning hour? Whether when we are still not a soldier, when we have not experienced that new birth, when everything has not become different, when the world, and then let us not talk of the sinful things, but the material things, that is wherein we seek all our joy and happiness, and that is where we find it. Whether you have begged the Lord and say, Lord, may it now please thee in this morning hour that thou may recruit me, and that I may become a soldier under the banner of Jesus Christ. And let us not deceive our poor souls, because the marks of those soldiers, they are clearly written in God's word. Also their struggles, their doubts, their riddles, because those soldiers, many times the king, the captain, leads them through deep and mysterious ways. Ah, those true soldiers, they know of many an arrow. They know what it is to be wounded. They know what it is to be faint. But those soldiers may also experience a faithful captain. And now, boys and girls, then we have already heard of a little of that armor. And then you can remember that we have spoken of that belt of truth. And that is so important because there are many soldiers that fight under a false truth. Think of the Islams, the Muslims, and many other false religions with all their zeal and with all their ignorance, that they are even willing to sacrifice their life, and yet they have not the truth according to God's holy word. And then in the second place, then you can remember that we have spoken, we have heard of the breastplate of righteousness, and that concerns justification, and that concerns sanctification. And now in our text in this morning, then it speaks because we read, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And when we read your feet shod, then it refers not to a slipper and not to a sandal. Because boys and girls, you can understand that would not be profitable for a soldier, but that to fight the battles of the Lord, then he needs shoes that also cover the ankle. Because children, you can understand that soldiers, many times, they are called to travel on rough terrain where there are thistles and thorns, where there are stones. And then if a soldier would not have shoes, bare feet, you can picture it, boys and girls, if you saw an army of soldiers that had much armor, but they were all without shoes on bare feet, that you would think with those soldiers, it shall not go well, because soon when they travel, then their feet shall become sore, they shall become bloody, maybe a serpent shall bite them. Thus then it is indispensable that such a soldier has shoes. And we read in the blessing for Asher in Deuteronomy 33, verse 25, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Sometime those shoes, they even had spikes, so when they were on slippery ground, they would not slide and fall. And in 1 Samuel 17, verse 6, then we read of Goliath, and he had greaves of brass upon his feet. And now those shoes, they are described in our text words, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When we read in our text words of the shoes for the Christian soldier, then it has a further purpose, because that belt of truth and that breastplate, and you remember, boys and girls, to protect the heart and the lungs from an arrow from the enemy, then it centered much about self. It did not exclude the welfare of the kingdom. But now when we consider shoes, that speaks of a soldier not only thinking about self, but thinking much about the king, about the kingdom, and serving others. because, boys and girls, you can understand it. If a soldier stays in his house and does not fight the battles of the Lord, that a soldier stays so secluded, then he could do even with bare feet. But when he fights the battles of the Lord, he needs those spiritual shoes. And when we are honest as a people, are we not much introvert? Centered on self, it is true. We have a mission field in Bolivia. We have a people in Peru. But we also have so many neighbors in our community that also have a soul. And now those shoes are described because we read, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And now we read in Isaiah 9 verse 6 that Christ is called the Prince of Peace. And the angels have sung in the fields of Ephrathah in Luke 2:13, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Thus that speaks of a soldier that has received by the Spirit, by the grace of God, that he has received peace in his heart, with the captain of salvation, through the captain of salvation. A triune God, a soldier that is given to experience that peace, at times even peace with creation, and, of course, the second table, peace with his fellow man. And now, when we read in our text words, and your feet shod, that word and, that connects to the former verses, then for those feet to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, then it is so necessary that such a soldier may have that breastplate of righteousness, at least a certain experience and knowledge thereof. It is true. When those soldiers are recruited, and when they receive a new heart that loves the Lord, and that loves his word, and that godly sorrow over sin, and that is so missed in our day, that leadeth to repentance, then at the beginning, such a soldier, then there shall be times because of the sorrow over sin and also the concern for his family and fellow man, that their mouth shall be opened, that they shall receive those shoes to speak and to serve their fellow man. But oftentimes, those soldiers that desire that breastplate of righteousness, that is their prayer. Because those soldiers, when you have a soldier, boys and girls, and of course soldiers in the army, they are trained to be enabled to carry a very heavy burden. They need to exercise. But now those true Christian soldiers, when the Lord works, and they feel the weight of their debt, then that burden becomes so big and so heavy that they are not able to travel so quickly. But now there are many of those soldiers that have many questions concerning their breastplate, concerning that righteousness. And then there can be so many doubts and so many fears. And when they look inside of their heart, what they are, what they remain, their sinful heart, then many times those soldiers, they can be so still they can be so silent because they are still a sinner before that holy, that majestic, and that righteous God. And then they are given to beg much, "Ach, Lord, wilt thou no clothe me with that blessed breastplate of righteousness, with the garments of salvation, to receive the pardoning, oh, the assurance of faith, because then my mouth shall be enabled to open and to tell my fellow travelers, if it is possible for me, then it is possible for you." But also concerning that breastplate of holiness, because when those soldiers do not live a holy, a life without blemish, when those soldiers are compromising, when they resemble the world, then their mouth shall be closed, and then they shall not need those shoes. Amos 5, verse 13. Because the prudent shall keep silent, because it shall be an evil day, then the mourning man shall so be missed in the gates. Thus, and the necessity, when they may have that breastplate, and their shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, then they shall be enabled to declare the wonderful works of the Lord and to be a diligent soldier. And now, what is the meaning of these shoes? And then it is manifold, the shoes and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Gospel, that means good tidings, not excluding repentance. Does that mean those soldiers with those shoes, they may be made profitable for their fellow man in whichever station, because our text speaks of stand, wherever the Lord has placed us, the family circle, father, mother, church, school, at work, wherever it may be, thus to be given to declare the wonders of the Lord and a readiness to impart the gospel, to make our fellow man jealous. No, we cannot do that, but the Lord uses means by our words and by our walk, because those shoes, that especially speaks of our walk through this world in the midst of a crooked generation. The shoes ready to impart the gospel. Oh, think of the apostles, 12 of them, to go into the Roman Empire. They were called, they were sent. Think of missionaries, then boys and girls, family circles, also good. There are many nice books about missionaries, how they have went. They have sacrificed much. Many have sacrificed everything with the breastplate of righteousness, with those feet shod, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Then further, then shoes that are given for trials and for persecution. The captain has not promised those soldiers an easy way. There is much warfare to be fought, many prayers to be prayed, many temptations to be withstood. And those shoes, as I read in Psalm 119, verse 32, "I will run the way of thy commandments." Because you can remember, boys and girls, when a soldier has bare feet, Soon he shall not run, maybe limp, and finally be so wounded that he can go no further. But when he may have those shoes of the gospel of peace, and that especially, but already in the beginning, but in the way of gratitude, and when their heart may be enlarged with the things of the Lord, then it shall be according to Psalm 119, verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Thus those shoes, it's true, this for protecting their own feet, but that is especially to serve our fellow man. We read in Philippians 2, verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And now those shoes of the Christian soldiers, they are not all the same, not all the same size. Same thing in your family, boys and girls. Then children and father and mother, they do not have the same size shoes, it is true sometime. Little children, they can walk, and maybe their father's or mother's shoes, but then you cannot run so fast. And now the captain of salvation, then he gives a particular shoe in his wisdom to each of his Christian soldiers. And also the way is decreed, and it is true. All those Christian soldiers, they have a great battle to fight. And sometimes they think that the way is too heavy, too difficult, and that they have not the right shoes. But I read in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, that God is faithful, that he will not suffer to be tempted, that we are able to bear. And further concerning those shoes, we read in Matthew 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. And David has declared in Psalm 23, verse 4, also reference to shoes, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How is it with our shoes, congregation? Do we use our shoes to walk in wayward and rebellious ways? Do we maybe wear shoes of compromise, that we do not honestly read the Word of God, simple and plain meaning, but that we make our own application, and we think we live in 2025, that we are given to compromise, the Lord is grieved, our fellow man does not become jealous. And now those true soldiers, also concerning their shoes, then they have much to confess. And the wonder for those soldiers, and that wonder only becomes greater, because they have to confess that they are not what they ought to be. That's what that old John Newton said at the end of his life. Not what he ought to be. Not what he wished to be. But he could speak that he was what he was not before, with those new desires and those new longings, and that he was not what in the future he hoped to be. But that now becomes the wonder. Those soldiers, many times so discouraged that they have not even courage to put their shoes on, and filled with many doubts and with many riddles, we have stated, oh, in the beginning, those soldiers think, if I now may have that assurance of that breastplate of righteousness, then I shall be always willing and able to run in the ways of the Lord, and no longer halting and stopping and doubting about my state. But the child learns that he need to be administered from above day by day. Let us first sing Psalter 165, the three stanzas. Hear, Lord, Lord, the voice of my complaint. Preserve my life from fear. Hide me from plotting enemies and evil crowding near. Psalter 165, let us sing 1 and 2, and if necessary for the collection, also the third.
Thank you.
to further parts of the whole armor of God. The spiritual shoe, and now the shield of faith. And then we read in verse 16, above all. Then that fourth part of the armor of the Christian soldier that is stressed in a special way. Concerning the first three, the girdle of truth, the breastplate, and the shoe, it is implied that a soldier would always be wearing these. Can understand, boys and girls, if there was no war and an army, and then the soldiers would come together before their general, then it would be expected that they would all be armored. If a soldier would show up, let's say, in his pajamas or ordinary clothing and with sandals, then such a soldier would be severely rebuked and punished, that he would even dare to appear in such a way before his general. And so the necessity of that girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel. And I know can oftentimes be in the life of those soldiers that they are so assaulted and that their thoughts are thus, if I now had that assurance that I was now truly a soldier of Jesus Christ, then I would have so much more boldness and so much more freedom. But can be those times that that armor even mocks with them. Nevertheless, concerning the fourth part of armor, the necessity is stressed because it says above all. Does not mean that the other parts are not important, but above all, taking the shield of faith. And I read in Hebrews 11, verse 6, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And I also read, that is verse 1 and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. And now we read in verse 6, above all taking the shield of faith, and that follows the shoes. And there's also a reason. Because boys and girls, you can understand, if a soldier stays nicely in his house, does not come outside, then he shall not have so much trouble, it is true. Oh, even in their inner chamber, cannot bring everything over exactly in the inner chamber, but of course, if it is well, then also in the inner chamber, then there is that holy warfare. And when there may be much prayer and many exercise, then many fiery arrows are shot right into the inner chamber. Nevertheless, when the soldiers do not go on the offensive, when they stay in their encampment, then they shall not have as much trouble with those arrows. Have even been people from other countries, even from China, that they have come to visit and that they have watched us and that they have said, if the Christians in China were as the Netherlands Reformed, just what they saw, that we stayed much to ourselves, then we would not have so much persecution. But now when those feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace are used, and that we go into the enemy's camp, then especially, then those arrows shall be shot, those fiery arrows, at those soldiers. And now concerning that shield, many times in Bible times, it was a very large shield, boys and girls, as wide as the man and nearly as high as the man. And then a soldier with his left hand, then he would carry that shield. And then when those arrows, those fiery arrows would be shot at him, then the arrows would hit that shield. You can understand the children, and they would fall to the ground. And the soldier would not be wounded. That's very important. Even stated that there was a mother and her son had to go to battle, and that the mother has impressed upon the heart of her son the importance and the honor of carrying that shield. She said, "My son, that is honorable." And now that shield of faith, that is true saving faith, which the Holy Spirit implants in the heart of the true soldier in the moment of regeneration, but which is granted, which is needed each time by renewal with the exercises thereof, the shield of faith. Many times faith is called the captain grace, because depending very closely connected, all those other graces that the child of God may be given to exercise, which they have received, they are closely connected with that true saving faith. And as faith is the captain grace, so unbelief is the captain sin. Unbelief that is the greatest sin. Not a mark of grace. Not saying that the true child does not have much trouble. Oh, sometimes it seems they have nothing but unbelief. And also oftentimes the exclamation of that Father, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. But let us, people of God, let us always remember that unbelief, that is the greatest sin. And in the life of a child of God, there are those times that it becomes the greatest sin. Ah, then those tears, because unbelief, in the first place, it makes God a liar. Not believing what he has written in his word. In the second place, it makes God so small concerning his attributes. In the third place, it is not to God's honor and not for the coming of his kingdom. It robs the child of God of much comfort, and it gives the devil great advantage. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And those true soldiers, they are given to examine their hearts oftentimes, whether it is the true faith of the Spirit which is granted to the true child of God. Jesus, in his preaching and in his parables, how often he has spoken of that separation that separates between the precious and the vile. J.C. Philpott, in a certain sermon, has stated, when a people may always believe, then it is not the faith of the Scriptures. When they never believe, it is neither the faith of the Scriptures. But now it is stress for the Christian soldiers, and when they have those shoes with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and by their speech and by their walk, may be seen and declared, and also a word of warning and admonishment. Think of the prophets in the Old Testament. They had remained in their homes, they would have not been persecuted. But think of Jeremiah when he was smitten, when he has spoken to the people that if they would not repent, that the Lord would come with his judgments, that he would be taken into captivity. The Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 21, verse 45, when he has spoken the parable of the householder with the husbandman that have ill-treated his servants and at last have killed the son, then they perceive that he spake of them, and then they have consulted together how they might destroy him. And now the shield of faith, and then we read the purpose of that shield. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Does it speak of fiery darts? And they tell us that even in Bible times, that sometime the enemies, they dip those arrows in poison. And then children, you can understand that when such an arrow penetrating the body, it would sting, it would be as fire, it would start to burn, and it would kill the soldier. Thus those fiery darts, the result when such an arrow of the enemy, and those arrows are directed at the true Christian soldiers, and you can picture it, boys and girls, when we have an army. Then there are soldiers at the front and soldiers more at the back, but they are all soldiers. Which soldiers, boys and girls, will receive the most arrows? Then you shall say the ones at the front. So it is also with the Christian soldiers. Oh, think in the time of Martin Luther. There were times that it seems that every arrow was shot at him, that he stood alone. No, he did not stand alone. Oh, if we think on April 18 in 1621, at the Diet of Worms, it is true, the evening before he has wrestled with his God. But then he received that freedom and that boldness with a shield of faith based upon the girdle of truth that he needed to be convinced out of God's holy word. And he has stood strong. And now we read, the fiery darts of the wicked. That is the wicked one. He is wicked in his essence. He is wicked in his tactics. He is so sly. We have heard of the wiles. And wicked in his design. And now the shield of faith. Many an arrow is shot at the true Christian soldier. It is true. Must not receive the wrong impression, boys and girls. If you would ask those soldiers, would you not want to go back to your former life being unconverted, under the wrath of God, under the banner of the devil? Then they would say no. Even being a fighting soldier, then those soldiers, when they may be diligent and it all got to come from above, then those soldiers may experience special help from the sanctuary, and that they may be strengthened out of Zion, and sometime even to see it more in the way of reflection, that they are given to see that it is the God of Israel that strengtheneth. But now many a darts that are shot at those Christian soldiers. We have not time to broaden it all out. Let us mention the dart that the soldier is too great a sinner, too black, and one thing, the sins before they believe that the Lord has begun, but the sins after that time, so black, so vile. Oh, then by the shield of faith, our Christ has given the example in Matthew 4. Then that wicked one, the devil, has come with three clever temptations to tempt the mediator. And then three times, then Christ has declared, it is written. And the arrow was dropped to the ground. Oh, what an arrow it can be concerning temptations. Arrows concerning pride. Arrows concerning unfulfilled promises. Think of Abram. So old, beautiful name. Canaanite was still in the land. Has the Lord forgotten to be kind? Shall I his promise faithless find? Then further can even be those darts of the wicked one, and especially in the times of trials, unfathomable and mysterious ways, that the darts of the wicked one to put evil thoughts in our heart of the Lord, that he is unjust, can even be the dart of the wicked one concerning the existence of God, that they become that fool of Psalm 14, of Psalm 53. The fool says that there is no God, can be the dart to give rebellious thoughts. Oh, the dart, the last enemy of death, as they read it in 1 Corinthians 15. The dart You are now a soldier. You have put on your armor, the shoes, the shield, all in its place. But there in the Bible is also spoken of the hypocrite. Do you not really think that you are a true soldier? Oh, what a fiery darts, but now by the shield of faith, never separated from the girdle of truth. And now that shield of faith that is given by Christ. And a read of the captain of the salvation of the church in Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, was in all things tempted as we are, sin accepted. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain help in the time of need. Oh, the captain, it's not so, as we have stated, a captain that says to the soldiers, go and fight the battles, but the captain of the church has come and fight the battles, following sown and unsown ways, thus to quench the darts of the wicked one. I read in Psalm 45 of the king. Fairer than the children of men, grace is poured out upon his lips, that the arrows are sharp in the hearts of the king's enemies, whereby they shall fall. How is it with our heart? Of course, by nature, we all have a hard heart. But the greatest judgment that can come upon a person and upon a people, when they receive a hardened heart, that they no longer listen, obey what they may hear, that their conscience becomes seared, and that they openly and boldly choose for the ways and the things of the world, that they openly declare, we will not have him king to be over us, and to fight in special ways, to offend the Lord, to grieve those that love the walls of Zion well, and have respect for God's word. Oh, when that continues, have the examples, Pharaoh, it's true it is written, the Lord hardened his heart, but also Pharaoh hardened his heart. Think of King Ahaz, when the Lord has afflicted him, that he has transgressed the more. This is that King Ahaz. And I read in Luke 12, verse 47 and 48, beaten with double stripes. Oh, if that is your name, may you be given to turn and to repent and ask the Lord that even that outer casing of your hard heart, that it may be shattered, a bowing under the authority of God's word, but more is necessary. Oh, the arrows of the kings are sharp in the hearts of the king's enemies, and that is our picture. And that is now the wonder. and therefore the necessity that we place ourselves where the Lord takes his bow and shoots those arrows dipped in blood and in love, and that they may be shot in the heart of the king's enemies, and then we shall be slain on the battlefield of grace, and then we shall become a willing soldier. I'm not saying a good soldier, but a willing soldier. And to be given, to be exercised, and that is now only possible. Christ is merited a shield for us people. And to that end, Christ has come upon this earth, and he has laid aside the shield of his divinity. He has given himself to suffer and to die. And with those arrows, the wrath of his Father, of a cursing law, and of the devil. And you know it, boys and girls, he is hung on the cross. No shield. Not even any clothes. So shameful. And to that end, oh, it is written in Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. To that end, the soldier, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, spiritual shoes, but also the shield of faith. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may we be given to reflect upon what we have heard. And then after each sermon, then we also need that cleansing for our official duties. May fathers and mothers in this day be given to speak of these matters, what it is to be a Christian soldier, and of that armor. And then we do well to examine whether we have been recruited, whether it can be seen also concerning the armor and the diligent use thereof, with a confession of sin and a pleading for mercy. Lord, thou still needest more soldiers, all those that are written in the book of life, then by renewal. May in this day, may it be heard. This one, that one, young and old, that they may have received a hope. Oh, when thou beginneth, then we learn that we are outside. But those soldiers shall hear their life declared. Wilt thou encourage those soldiers, because the battle can be so heavy, many times afraid that they shall faint. They can be so wounded with many an arrow in their heart and in their lung and in their head. But, Lord, thou hast promised that they shall never perish. Thou art that faithful covenant God. Do it then for thy honor. Watch over us in this day. Return us in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 382, the stanzas 1 through 3 and 4. Lord, thou wast searched me and dost know. Wherever I rest, wherever I go, thou knowest all that I have planned, and all my ways are in thy hand. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be a Colossus Far West meeting on Wednesday, October 1 at 9 a.m. The prayer service is on Tuesday evening, September 30 at 7 p.m. both here in Pitcher Butte, and the Israel magazine is at the exit. Psalter 382, 1, 3, and 4. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.